morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines here with you Wednesday, the 23rd of September, 2020. Today is the day that I get my training wheels off. I'm here alone with you all. So I welcome you to call and have a little bit of a chat with me as the day goes on. We're here till 2 o'clock. The numbers are 434-1790. And if you want to contact us via WhatsApp, 266-4862. So let me tell you a little bit about what has been on my mind this morning. I listened yesterday, not in its entirety, but I listened to some of the discussions in the House of Assembly yesterday and the tributes to the late Owen Arthur. I found some of them quite interesting. Some of the comments that were made during these tributes I found a little intriguing, in particular the comments that came from MP George Payne and also Trevor Prescott. I found those to be quite interesting because on the one hand, Mr. Payne spoke about his disappointment with the approach taken to the people of White Hill and also some issues surrounding land being sold for $15 per square foot in Lancaster. And this is land that he believes to have been promised to the people of White Hill. And then on the other hand, the other MP, Mr. Prescott, who is now a special envoy for reparations and economic enfranchisement, spoke about keeping cronies and parasites out. I wonder what that referred to. I just thought these were very interesting things to mention during a tribute. He also mentioned, this is Mr. Prescott, not being pushed out. And that was in reference to the resignation of Mr. Glenn Clark as an MP in St. George North. He will be taking up an appointment as the High Commissioner in Canada. So those were some things that I thought were a little bit interesting. What I also think is interesting, and in case you all were wondering, yes, I am a political scientist, which is why these political things are of interest to me. I thought some of the things I've seen relating to the leadership contest in the DLP are quite interesting surrounding Verla DePisa. And the reason I think they're interesting is because there are some parallels between these and perhaps what happened to Miss Motley when she was leader of the opposition in 2008. And I think there's a tendency, if we look at women in politics around the world, for women sometimes to hold space after crisis periods and different difficult time periods. But then when the election contest is in sight or victory looks possible, I don't know how possible it looks for the DLP, but you know, some may think it looks possible, then there is this shift. So we saw that with Miss Motley in 2008 after the electoral defeat by the Democratic Labour Party. She was the leader of the opposition for 2 years, and then Mr. Arthur, the late Mr. Arthur, replaced her, and we won't get into how that replacement occurred. Maybe we're seeing something similar with Ms. DePisa, but even if we look further afield, Theresa May in the UK is perhaps an example of this as well. After there was this contentious referendum in the UK for Brexit, David Cameron stepped down. She held some space for a few years, and then was replaced by Boris Johnson. So those are just some things that were interesting to me, but now I am willing to hear what's interesting to you. So let's receive some calls. Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Yes, good morning, ma'am. This is Carl Padmore, the Public Relations Office of Sanitation Service Authority.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. We want to bring the public's attention to a matter that was in the press over a year now. It would have started, it concerns the area in Maxwell Hill where a lady periodically during that year would have created three different mountains of garbage on a private lot up there.
Right.
That dumping would have caused a nuisance not only to herself, but to the residents. The SSA last week would have spent close to $10,000 in equipment and manpower, labor, that is, to move those mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We are appealing for help for this lady. Now, the law does not permit SSA to do more than what we did already. It's now up to the hands of the law and to the Ministry of Health to intervene. What we are aware of is that she was held twice and released, but she has continued. This is the thing about it. So we're not saying to lock her up. We just want help for her. However that help comes under the law, we are aware that she can be charged under the Nuisance Act and different acts in the Ministry of Health. We are aware of that. But more so, we are looking that clearly it's a mental health issue.
Okay.
And we are appealing to her family, residents who may know where she is, to seek help for the woman. And if there are personnel from the Ministry of Health listening to this program, please help us to help this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been reliably informed that she has continued the action again. Now, you would have seen through the media, ma'am, the mountains, and you would have seen through the press how the SSA would have gone in there with the help of the Ministry of Transport, Works and Maintenance, and the Ministry of Health to remove this, the nuisance that was there. And the nuisance, we're speaking about the waste. But we also know that there's a common factor here, which is the lady now, and she's still roaming the streets and she's still engaging in the act. We are aware that Starcom Network is a popular radio station, that your calling program is one that has far reach. And the two ministers involved are quite disturbed at what is happening from the perspective that we're trying to keep Barbados clean and green. These two ministers, where the road would connect both of them, would be Member of Parliament Ralph Thorn QC, and also Adrian Ford, the Minister of Environment and National Beautification. And so they would have worked assiduously with these agencies to get this situation under control.
Mm-hmm.
The landowner must also realize, and this is not only for this particular case, but landowners across Barbados, that if your property, because of your negligence, is causing a nuisance to your neighbors, you can be charged under the Ministry of Health Act as well. You are supposed to keep the surroundings clean. You are not supposed to have anything on your property that can encourage the breeding of mosquitoes, that can encourage to be a haven for rats. So we want Barbadians to take care of their lots as well. It is still a concern for us. There are a lot of overgrown lots. Persons are overseas. Persons have bought property and not looking after their property, and so they are causing nuisance. If you have a property and you realize someone is causing, fence the property, put up a no trespassing sign, a no dumping sign. You can do that. It's your own property. So, okay. Going back to the primary call, we are appealing for help for this lady. For purposes, as you would understand, we wouldn't reveal the lady's name, but people know the story and they know the lady, they see her. We know that the police are always since they're working hard to try to get help, but we are appealing to the Ministry of Health. If you're listening to us, please help us to help this lady.
You're appealing to the Ministry of Health. I'm wondering if you've also been in contact with the Welfare Department and social care agencies that may be better placed to provide this assistance as well?
Well,
so perhaps Minister Ford?
We are going to the Ministry of Health first because, ma'am, you would understand in terms of mental health and mental illness, she has to be evaluated first. We would have done all of our due diligence. We would have spoken and sought advice across the board. And she has apparently a good lodging. She lives within a mile and a half radius of where she roams the streets to commit this act. So the Ministry of Health, I know they would have held the lady once already, but not the police would have held her and they would have sought to help, but she's still out again.
Okay. And can I ask another question about the cleaning in general, not just in this case, but across the board? Is the NHC assisting in cleaning lots that are hazardous to residents?
We cannot speak about NHC. They will be responsible for cleaning their own lots or their own property.
Okay.
Because you are responsible for your own lot. If the lot, for some reason, if you can't trace the owner, then the Ministry of Health will come and they would do what investigation. But we are seeing a lot of overgrown lots across Barbados. And what is happening?
And with the rains now as well, it's difficult to keep up with the maintenance.
And these are becoming now communal dumps. They're becoming illegal dumps and making it, putting some pressure on our resources at the SSA. So you would find that these lots now are having coconut shells and the old fridge, the old stove, because some Barbadians believe that your open lot is their safe dumping ground, which is not so. And they too can be charged under the Health Services Act, and we have worked with health inspectors across Barbados. We want to pay tribute to them. They're working hard. But open lot is your responsibility. Your lot is yours.
Okay.
And no one has a right to come and create a nuisance by indiscriminately disposing of the waste, which will now, we have dengue and different things like that. And then let's say something as simple as a fly. Research would have shown that there's thousands and thousands of germs, bacteria, that from one fly dropping. Now, come on, we already are battling with COVID. Don't let us create other health issues because of bad practices that we engage in.
Okay.
And it's very simple. Please look after your own waste, and we will have a cleaner, greener Barbados.
Okay, so we're appealing for help for this lady in this situation in particular, but then this is a wider appeal to the general public to take care of your lots, keep your property clean, make sure to go and check on it and ensure that it's not a dumping ground. I probably have to do the same. So
yes, please.
Thank you for that appeal. I would also suggest, though, that perhaps engaging some of the other social agencies might be helpful. Perhaps there are people out there listening to this program in the non-governmental sector who may also be able to provide some kind of assistance. Maybe there are people who can do some psychological evaluations on a pro bono basis if the Ministry of Health may be overwhelmed or taking a bit long. So we would just appeal to those individuals to contact you.
Yes.
So this is Mr. Padmore at the SSA.
Yeah, the Public Relations Officer.
Public Relations Officer. Thank you so much for your call, and I hope this information reaches people who can assist.
Thank you.
All right, have a great day. Good morning, down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm fine, and this is the first time I'll be speaking to you.
All right.
Now, I want to make two or three quick points. First, I spoke to Mr. Wickham only yesterday about almost a 3-hour wait for a Connell Town bus.
Oh.
But sadly, I get a phone call last night from a friend of mine who experienced the same thing, close to the same thing. She was waiting on the Gazette's bus from 6:45 last night, 6:45.
Yes.
She got a bus after 8:30. She was at the bus stop from 6:45.
Mm.
So there were no 7 o'clock bus. Now, you know, can we get an official from the transport board to come in and say something? Because this type of behavior that the public is getting by the transport board is not good enough. I don't want to whip them anymore, but they need to send an official and say something.
So you're saying that despite the addition of buses, there are still long waits and the schedules are not being kept?
I park my vehicle only Sunday. I park a vehicle to catch the Connell Town bus to go for a drive and experience it, almost a 3-hour wait.
Okay.
We were at the bus stop from 4 o'clock. Waiting for that Connell Town bus, no 5, no 6.
Hmm.
When we get on Spike, we catch a Spike Town bus, we decide, let's get on any bus that come down and get in it and get off in Spike Town. When we get on Spike Town, it's all after 7 o'clock, then we see the Connell Town bus coming down. You know, almost 3 hours waiting. But anyhow, that gone and bypassed. But what struck me is only this morning, you know, I get a call from a close associate telling me they had a bad taste last night.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get somebody from that authority calling and say something. My next point.
Okay, go ahead.
During the Right Honorable Owen Arthur funeral, I sat down and while the ceremony was going on and so on, I said to myself, what could be the best thing you can name after or an after name? And the university came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The university came to my mind. So I applaud Miss Mia Motley for trying to put the university into his name. That would be a great benefit.
But let me ask you a question on this, because this has been on my mind. I did not want to open with it because I work at the university. But do you think that this politicizes the University of the West Indies? This is not a Barbadian institution. It's an institution for the entire region, funded by governments of the entire region. And would we want to, although I do understand the sentiment, would we want to politicize the entire campus by giving this name?
No, but look, we got to face the fact. The same said Prime Minister Owen Arthur put a lot of money into that same university.
But how was the university established in Barbados? Who established this campus in Barbados?
Well,
that would have been the late Errol Barrow,
one of our national heroes. Errol Barrow was the forefront.
Provided land and so on. So, I'm not saying the idea is not good. It is a good idea, but I'm just wondering if it is fully fair to provide that level of recognition when there certainly have been others in Barbados and across the region that have made substantial contributions to the UWA and the Cape Hill campus.
Yeah, we agree that Errol Barrow was the forefront. But you got to look at it in the latter years, what this gentleman Owen Arthur come in his 14 years and contribute to that university.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at that, you see.
Well, there are several buildings on the campus that do not have names. So this is a decision that is for the UWA to make. And I don't know what decision they will make. Like the Prime Minister, whatever decision they make, I will respect and live with. But there are buildings as another option. You know, there's the Errol Barrow Center for Creative Imagination.
I was now going to tell you that.
That's a building, not the whole campus.
I was now going to tell you that.
Mm-hmm. So
that already has a name, the Errol Barrow Center there already. So there's nothing wrong with it, naming the university after Owen Seymour Arthur.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sure if you were to ask Professor Beckles,
mm-hmm.
I am sure he would agree with it.
You're sure of that?
I am sure you would agree
with it. Well, we will find out.
Sure.
We have to see
if you are wrongly certain or if you are correcting your views. No. When Mr. Beckles were at the helm,
mm-hmm.
the same Seymour Nurse allocate lots of money to that university.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Allocate lots of money. Whenever Hillary Beckles asks for to do things there, Owen Arthur never condemn it. But anyhow, my last point. Miss Mia Motley.
Yes.
Although I said just now that she make a good decision there in trying to name the university after Mr. Owen Arthur, I think she needs to be a little watchful.
Uh-huh.
A little watchful in some of her decision makings. I want her to be a little more, you know, just be on her toes a little bit more. I think some.
Why
of her,
do you say that?
I don't want to get into it right now. I will sit back and wait a little bit more first before I say add to it.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, at this present point. Some of our decisions need to be.
Need to be?
She need to be careful. Just please, she need to be careful.
Okay.
Just need to be careful. Right?
Okay.
All right. Okay, I get back at another date. Why you say that?
Okay, so you were leaving us with a cliffhanger. So this is to be continued. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines with you until 2 p.m. I have some reactions on the WhatsApp to two calls that we've had for the morning. Some of the reactions surround the comment about the renaming of the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus after the late Owen Arthur. Some of the comments that I see here on the WhatsApp indicate that perhaps a building should be named after Mr. Arthur. The university has to think about international accreditation. Other comments about the role of Mr. Barrow in establishing the university, but only a building is named after him. And there are some on the other side who have no problem with renaming the campus after the late Mr. Arthur. There's also an interesting comment here, a response to the call from Mr. Padmore from the SSA. Someone is indicating that there is a property in Lower Burnie owned by the NHC that has become a community dumping ground, and they are calling on the authorities. They say there is prolific for cow itch. They're calling on the authorities to also clean this up while they are asking residents to do the same of their own properties. Let's go to the phones. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Good morning.
My name is Caswell Franklin.
Oh, good morning.
I am a trade unionist.
Yes.
First and foremost, yesterday I was receiving calls, yesterday and the day before, from my members at a school complaining that they had to move out the staff room because there were bed bugs and maggots.
Oh.
This was one of the schools that was featured on the news telling people, oh, things went off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
They lied to the public. I take very serious offense to that. Right now, the children are back home today, but they didn't announce it on the radio. They asked the teachers to call the students and tell them do not come to school because they do not want to embarrass certain people. You know, I don't think that is fair to the students, to the teachers, to this country. You know, you come to us and you tell us certain things and they expect us to believe you. Now, if we don't believe you in the little things, then you come with the big things, do you expect us to believe you? This school has been closed. The classrooms are full of cobwebs and stuff. Nobody touched that school since May. But they rushed to get the schools open because the powers that be wanted to have the schools open for whatever reason, I don't know, in a rush. And they ran out there. I live near the Vestaris School. And they were there up to the night before the schools opened trying to clean up. That is how bad it got. The schools weren't ready. But I'm not hearing the unions. I'm not either the teachers' union or the ministry coming out. And the ministry can't come out for this one because this is the minister's constituency. Parkinson.
Okay.
You know? These things are wrong.
So what would you propose? We need to have accurate information and to have the schools cleaned properly? Is that your proposition?
My it goes a lot more than that.
Those
are two. But when you come and lie to the public, that's a very serious offense.
Yes.
Some person should suffer the consequences for coming out on radio and TV and in the newspapers saying things that they know not to be true.
Mm.
But you expect that I wouldn't get out. You feel like somebody wouldn't call me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're going off a little hitch. And then to back it up, rather than call the OB and say, well, we were not open today for whatever reason or something happened, no, they do it on this slide. They call around to these teachers and say, look, call your students and tell them don't come to school. Teachers had to, first of all, the first day of school, teachers had to go outside. They couldn't go. Then there was no room for them because their staff room was full of bed bugs and maggots. Then they put them in the lab, but the lab, you couldn't socially distance inside there. So then there was no bathroom for the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's clear that there are pre-existing environmental problems at many schools and also many institutions across Barbados that COVID-19 has just exacerbated. So
no, this is nothing to do with COVID-19. COVID-19 does not tell you to lie.
This is true.
Right? This has nothing to do with COVID-19. Yes, we might have problems because of COVID-19. But one of those problems is that you must not, that you couldn't tell the truth because of COVID-19. Mm-mm. That, you know. You refuse to tell the truth because, and the thing is, if you know it to be untrue, and you say, despite that, there's only one label for you. You don't have to come out there and try to be a public relations officer and try to make things look good when they are not. That's not your job.
Okay.
So well, I am very upset. And just, I didn't call for this.
Okay.
But I mean, what I'm going to tell you now. I listened to the caller earlier who talked about naming the university after the right excellent Errol Barra. Owen Arthur.
Yes.
Mr. Barra proposed the establishment of a campus in Barbados. He got in his little airplane and he flew around the place to look for a spot to site the university. And when he did that, he built it. Now, you better tell me, you're going to name it after a student? Because the student did well out of the university that Barra established? Or would you name it after the man who went out of his way to make sure Barbados was on the cutting edge? I am not a Dem, never was, and never will be. But it is only fair that if you're going to name that campus after any Barbadian politician, it should be Errol Barra. I say no more.
Thank you. Thank you for your contributions. Is there anything else you would like to add? No? Okay, let's take another call. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Since the others don't want to say it, but I can say it. The whole idea is to wipe out the name of Errol Barra. Mm. I can say it, right? The National Insurance Building that was just demolished. The engineer said was stretched to be found to build a park. And we have not only this government, last government too, going about the place renting office space from private enterprises. And you let down a whole building, claiming it was sick. When you go to a doctor, he finds out what is making you sick, and he brings a solution. If it was the air conditioner that replaced them, to build a park. You heard the whole idea is to wipe out the name of Errol Barra. And they don't care who I offend by saying that. I stand back. I'm not saying Mr. Arthur don't deserve anything. Give him a statue. He deserves that and more. Now, we're talking about renaming things. I notice there's only certain types of people that get things named after them.
What types of people?
The bigots.
Okay.
The bigots. Mm-hmm. You know? They had a lady who's now deceased, who spoke about Westmoreland Junction and the dangers of it day in and day out. Before fail, she died at that junction. And if you want to talk about renaming, renaming Westmoreland after that lady would be more sitting. She paid the ultimate sacrifice. And then still questioning too, how a career could have been built from a true residential areas and not taught of providing safe passage for drivers and pedestrians. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about that.
Go ahead.
There's something else. Oh, dear, I could forget it.
You forgot it?
Oh, the by-election?
Yes, that is very interesting and exciting to me. Tell me your thoughts.
It's interesting and exciting, right, for me.
It is not. To you?
If I was the DLP, I would not contest it. I would kind of go along with it.
Why?
Why?
Yes, why?
Why? Sometimes it's good to give people the impression that they're doing the right things and that they're almost invincible. Sometimes it's best to do that, you know.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's best to do it.
Is that what is best to do or is best not to be defeated?
I heard Glenn Carr. Mm-hmm. Talking about his constituencies. There's a new rules, not only his constituency, so too. It's more than deplorable. And this time, they notice, while traversing one of those constituencies, there's a road, I can't remember exactly, I know the person, I can't remember the name. It skips a certain point, then it stops for a number of meters. It's in a deplorable condition, and then it starts to pierce again.
Okay.
Right? And they know how some politicians operate. And you should, you say too, you're young, I know you're an idiot. Right? I know.
Thank
that.
Thank you for that vote of confidence.
I am very impressed by you, your fear. You are very fair. I know as long as you're wrong, Janet Johnson, you're on a choice later. And speaking about him, I hope he continues in the vein in which he answered the phone this morning. You're in a job where you can come across a lot of idiots, maybe, I'm even one. Ignore them.
Don't
allow anybody to spoil your day. The last thing that I want to say, I had these things written down my heart, right? And it was written so fast that.
The next thing, you should get some paper. If you wash your hands, you'll lose it.
There was no paper. You know,
okay, go ahead, tell me.
I sometimes wonder. And it happens on both sides. Both political parties are guilty. That's why I am totally fed up with all two of them. When you're in opposition, you know all the remedies. You got all the remedies. Perfect example. You're in office for 15 years. You don't do things that you should have done. You're in opposition for 15 years and you say what you should have done. Then the time comes to get voted out. Is the reverse. You are now doing the things that the other party was doing and vice versa. I mean,
that's the nature of our politics, isn't it?
Yeah, but it don't have to be. It don't have to be that way.
How can it be?
Don't mind do the right things. I'm not saying you're going to get everything done at one full speed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's, government is really a continuum, you know.
It's a
continuum of the neglect. It's a continuum of the false promises and all of that. I am sick and fed up of both parties. Listener, Barbara, Thomas, claim no more, right? It's not about people no more. It's about other things,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it's about time because a lot of Barbadians got, even the politicians, say that these two parties have a God-given right to rule this country. We mm-hmm. need to try to, okay, oh, the next thing, Granville Phillips.
Yes.
I hope that you don't get a vote in any election, whether it's a by-election or what. You cannot be telling me
that's not very generous of you.
No. You tell it to be fair, double up. You don't let me tell it as I say.
Uh-huh.
You want betterment for people. During the last elections, there were talk about the parties coming together. You're talking about Cadenas, and you very serious about it. Have a nice day.
Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Greetings, Christina. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very, very happy to hear you in this new role. I'm great. I can't complain.
Thank you.
I want to weigh in on this question of the renaming of the University of the West Indies.
Yes.
And I have to say that I would be very unhappy if that suggestion took any ground. Some of your callers started with the historical analysis. Let's bear in mind, though, that the University of the West Indies came into effect in 1948, long before Errol Barrow was, for the lack of a better word, a political strongman in Barbados. It is actually people like Grantley Adams who would have, for the lack of a better term, rolled the pitch for the University of the West Indies.
Yeah.
And then by 1962, the charter for the University College of the West Indies, which is what it was when it was set up in 1948, became the fully independent University of the West Indies, which we now have. And as individuals correctly said, Grantley Adams would have been integral in, I'm sorry, Errol Barrow would have been integral in finding the land and then constructing what was the final resting place of the Barbados campus, because it used to be in the port before.
That's right.
That, a building located closer to the port. But I am not saying that, I'm not making the point that Grantley Adams had a hand in the university to solidify any argument about whether it's a BLP project or a DLP project. I actually invoked that to make the point that the University of the West Indies has always been a supra-political project. It is a regional project. It is one of few things that we have, perhaps the university cricket or food and music, that has given us a regional sense of ourselves. And I think that regional sense of ourselves was one of the guiding lights of Oenasa's work, as I knew his work, less as a politician and more as, I guess, for the lack of a better word, a Caribbean intellectual. And I don't think that to, as you said, politicize the University of the West Indies in the renaming of an entire campus in the name of a man who is by no stretch of the imagination deserving, you know, he is deserving, but a man who also made his contribution within the vagaries that is Caribbean politics, within the vagaries that is local politics. And, you know, we understand how that sometimes engulfs things. And I really don't think that that's what he would have wanted to see. There is a history worth preservation in the Cave Hill campus, in the Mona campus, in the St. Augustine campus. And I would hope that as a part of our project of being, I guess, for the lack of a better word, keepers of the history of what it means to actually be a region, that we don't lose sight of what the Cave Hill campus is, of what the University of the West Indies is, and how that enables all of us then to be who and what we want to be. So the Dems, the Bees at the local level, you know, and then across the landscape, in every territory, it goes the same way. Almost all of the leaders of the Caribbean that are seen as giants in that post-independence period and the pre-independence period too, the Adamses and them, had some connection to the thing that is now today the University of the West Indies. But before that, when it was the University College, also the study groups, the political groups, the labor groups that gave ferment to the idea of self-determination as a Caribbean nation. So I am actually a little bit concerned that the idea was even mooted, because if we do it in Barbados, it leaves room for other campuses with UEs to think about this. And I think it is something that definitely would dilute what it is that the University of the West Indies is, which is a friend of all and a satellite of none.
Well, those are quite good points. I definitely do support this idea that we all have to feel free to participate in this fine institution that belongs to all of us, the governments of the region. Whichever party is in power, they contribute to the University of the West Indies. It is something that we should, in my opinion, obviously I work there, so y'all may think I'm biased, but I think that we should collectively have some pride in the UWA and what it stands for. I am not involved in the naming of anything, but I do think we have to be very careful and thoughtful in thinking about what we do to the names of entire campuses. So
absolutely.
I thank you for that intervention. Do you have another point that you would like to make?
No, I don't have another point to make, just that, you know, I'm kind of happy that I've done, as you would know, Christina, my PhD looks at the development of intellectualism in the nationalist period of the Caribbean. And when we're having debates such as this one, which is now a national debate, it just points to the importance of us making sure that we have clear tabs on our history and how we got to where we are, so that we can chart even as we move forward to where we want to be. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you too, and have a good day. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. I am calling because of a situation that I want to highlight, and I don't know if you are familiar with it. I heard them referring to you as a doctor. Are you a medical doctor?
Not a medical doctor. If I write a prescription, I will get locked up.
You will get locked up?
Probably.
Okay. Let's begin. I will begin by saying to you that The people, the there's in Barbados, there are plenty of cancer patients. And what is going on now is absolutely ridiculous. About 2 days ago, I was transporting, I transported a cancer patient to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital for an appointment. The patient was given a prescription. And please note that this patient is now stage 4 cancer, right? Has stage 4 cancer, but is not bedridden. The patient was given a prescription. So I took the patient to the hospital, what we call pharmacy or dispensary, right, for the medication. Would you believe that there was none, right? Mm. The person went on to Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic. There was none. They went to one more polyclinic, and there was none. At the third polyclinic, they was told, well, the hospital and the government and this body and the next body, they don't have any. Now, I'm going to go a little further and tell you that the person is in severe pain and depends on that medication. And that medication at this time is morphine, along with cataflam and quite a few others. Believe it or not, hospital dispensaries, main polyclinics in Barbados has none for those cancer patients. Mm-hmm. Now, this person now had to leave, right, and go to a pharmacy. Contacted a few pharmacies. The strength that the person was using is 30 milligrams, okay? Most of the pharmacies had none. Happened to find one that had only half of the medication. Person bought it. It was expensive. That medication cost them close to $400, and it was only prescribed for 2 weeks. The next day, I called a couple more pharmacies, and none of them had any. But luckily, I found one in Six Roads. And the person said, I have 2 boxes of morphine left at 30 milligrams, right? And if you have the prescription, I can fill it, right? Rush back, got a prescription, and went to St. Philip. Got the last 30 tablets. Sorry, 90 tablets. But I say that to say this, right? The medication that person has now can only last them up to 90 days. Right? This is one month and 2 weeks, say 60 and 14, 74 days. You understand?
Yes.
Now, what in the meantime, there's other things that goes with that medication that they still don't have, no cataflam, no nothing. I think it is heart-wrenching to see a person wrenching in pain, mm-hmm. right? And there's no morphine. And you know that basically morphine is the last medicine that they put you on, that is a narcotic, and that is for severe pain. I would like somebody that listening from the Ministry of Health or the government or somewhere to come on and tell people why this is happening to these patients, mm-hmm. why these patients have to suffer and probably die slowly without medication, mm-hmm. or die in pain, because without morphine eases the pain. And without morphine and cataflam and all the other things that goes with it, the liquid, the paracetamol, the things that really softens the stool and all that. But, Mom, it is really ridiculous. I mean ridiculous. You know, it's the way it's just the people lay there and die.
Yeah, it's very sad to hear.
It is sad.
I'm wondering what the cause of these shortages might be. Maybe it is something that will be resolved soon. I cannot say definitively, but I hope there is some measure of relief for people who need access to medication. I thank you for your call, and I hope that it will be heard. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. I have seen some very interesting comments on the WhatsApp. I would like to read this one to you all. It is about the CSEC and CAPE results that were returned to students yesterday. And this individual says, something is seriously wrong with this year's CSEC CAPE results. They are absolutely bizarre, to say the least. Dedicated students have received grades 4, 5, and 6. Entire classes have received U's, that's ungraded. Students who took the exam have been marked as being absent. Many comments have been made by students, teachers, and parents around the region and on social media. Barbadian, I believe this should be sixth form students, are perplexed, stressed, and depressed. Nothing about this is making sense. The mental health and academic futures of our children are being seriously impacted. CXC must address this fiasco. I urge all parents to query your child's results and for all schools to request a formal review. We need answers and we need them now. This is very interesting to me because there was a similar sort of situation surrounding the A-level and the O-level results in the UK during this COVID period because of a somewhat different system that they used to address the COVID pandemic. So quite interesting for us to think about. Those out there who have children, family members, neighbors who have taken these examinations, I wonder whether you share this sentiment. There's also another comment again about education, indicating that the Minister of Education does not inspect every property. Are quite valid points. Let's go to the phones. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Yes, go ahead.
Welcome to the chair.
Thank you.
And this is a voice you will hear a lot from over a period of time. And I could establish my name early so you'd know when you hear it is Mark Williams.
Okay.
Now,
hello, Mark Williams.
Thank you. I have a series of things that I want to discuss with you coming out of your morning discussions. I want to explain to Mr. Padmore that his explanation this morning to you was a short change.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. I also want to take this time to explain that there is an area of land east of Queen's College School, going towards the traffic lights, just outside our car lot.
Yes.
That is in a terrible state, and it needs to be cleaned. I understand the owner of that land is overseas. Now, why I'm saying that, Mr. Padmore should have known better this morning, because there's legislation provided for such situations. Where government, if the land is not cleaned by the owner, government will notify the person who owned the land of the intention to clear the land with a bill. So that person has two things to do. Either pay the bill before or pay the bill after.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certain that if Mr. Padmore is familiar with his position, he will know that through the Sanitation Department and the Ministry of Environment, that there is a program in place legislated that if the person or person has not cleared a lot, government will eventually clear that lot and attach a cost to it.
Yes.
So I'm saying this is what I want established, that the lot that is close to me, that somewhere along the line, that needs to be cleared. The owner of this lot is overseas. The land registry has a list of all the land owners in Barbados because they provided with tax bills. So they know exactly who the land owners are or who the agents are as far as Barbados is concerned. So, Mr. Padmore, I want you to let the people know that there is a program where government will clear the spot and build the owner for it. Beside that, the area of Maxwell that creates the problem. You can't ask for help, Mr. Padmore, when the help is right at your door and the person who owns that spot. First, I believe that if the lady is probably mentally unsound, that you have to deal with it the way it should be dealt with. And that is that enclose the spot, fence the spot, prevent her from having access to the spot. Obviously, you would look for some places that she would probably dump close to that area. But as long as you make it difficult for her to access that spot and the garbage that she puts there, then obviously you and the people who live in Maxwell Hill will understand fully that you're doing something and that welfare department will take care of the lady, and whatever the problems, which is the social issue with the lady, will be taken care of. But at the present moment, I think you need to enclose that spot, fence that spot, clean the spot, fence it, prevent the lady from having access to it. Obviously, she would probably find another area, but in that space of time, you would be prepared to work with that lady through the social contact. That is my two points at that point. The other point I'm talking about, the bus route from Grisex, from Fontibel Terminal to Grisex Husbands.
Yes.
The signs?
Yes, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I am proud to say that when I was an active politician, that I was responsible for getting that route established. Mm-hmm. Some of it has been cut off because of activities. That is the area for inheritance. That has been cut off. The buses used to go to Fernhurst. They don't anymore. But they still proceed to Husbands. I want to establish that those buses are supposed to be running on an hourly basis on nights.
So nobody should be waiting 3 hours for a bus.
That's right. I'm certain that the supervisor at Cheapside Terminal will tell you that. You either get a quarter to set quarter to help bus, or you get a quarter to nine bus. And the position is that, as far as that route is concerned, that is an extended route because it goes up to Grisex. It goes right across Long Gap, turn around in Long Gap, comes back, come up the area of Carefield, onto Husbands, out onto the highway, and back down on its way back to the terminal. So I'm saying that one must understand fully that because you will stay outside, you need to find out exactly what is the bus times.
So I'm wondering if there's no way to inform people about delays to buses. I did hear about some use of technology, an app or something that was to be developed to inform people of the times that buses would pass so that you're not standing up by a bus stop for 3 hours without a clue as to whether a bus will even come.
No, I agree with you. I'm saying that the transport board has transformed itself into what it would consider to be what was adverse comments and now becoming positive. Now, the route that I just talked to you about, the Grisex, Fontibel Cheapside to Grisex, the most people that use that bus are senior citizens. I'm telling you, a lot of senior citizens. Sometimes
right.
the bus is on route with only two paying passengers and all the rest are senior citizens.
That's a good point. If we're thinking about a technological fix, it may not work for everyone.
I am of the opinion that somewhere in the Cheapside terminal, there needs to be a sign or a series of pamphlets that can be given out to let people know the run of that bus.
Mm-hmm.
So that those senior citizens who sit for long hours in the van stand, waiting to find out exactly when the bus will move, will have something else to do before the bus moves. So my appeal is that I'm not blaming the transport board. I am saying that the system is in place, but it needs to be modified and cleared for the benefit of the commuters who live within the journey I was just spoken about.
Okay, fair point.
Well, the next one, I'm dealing with the university.
Yes.
And one must understand politics in its true sense. Over the last couple of days, we have had a lot of discussion on homosexuality, same-sex marriage. So there is a need to break that border of discussion. So the best way to break that is to look at the middle class, the academics, who would have passed through Carefield and made a suggestion of naming the university after the late Lord Alfred. This is a rock cut in somebody's path to stop them from dealing with the subject matter of the day, which is the homosexuality.
That is the subject matter of the day, in your opinion?
Listen to us. I let your interrogation, because it means it gives me time to find the answer. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we have had a whole broad-based discussion on sexuality, same-sex marriage, and the stamp. So So everybody has been calling, giving their two cents on that. So the people have been sensitized. Even yesterday we had a clip from Reverend, what's her name? She made a clip yesterday, and it shows you that there's a sensitive approach to this bit of the thought that is going around in Barbados. So in order to bring that to a standstill, you need to find a bit of serious concern so that people will now be diverted from that to the idea of university. Oh. So I'm saying I will not
I don't think that that will divert a lot of people's attention, though. I think people who are against gay marriage or same-sex unions will continue to be against it, whatever the name of the university is, whether it is the Owen Arthur campus at Cahill, Cahill campus, Busser University. I think those people who have that as a concern will continue to be concerned.
Perhaps I will take your suggestion on it, but I will continue to monitor the position as far as the lady who called you give you a perfect historical aspect of the university.
She really did.
Those of us who are familiar with the area will know that that area was developed around the university as well for students to be able to have lodgings within the vicinity of the university long before the condominiums were built. So when you look at Wanstead, almost everybody in Wanstead, almost everybody in the Cahill area, Pleasantview area, who built a home with the understanding that the apartment will be rented by a student at the university. So in true and fact, it was developed, the university was developed as the campus, but the extension of the university has been a benefit to several landowners.
Yes.
And several people who, in the true sense, realize that here's an opportunity for me to own my property and still have the right to rent out a segment of it to get my daily living. So I would say that this idea of talking about naming the bar, one of the better suggestions, because you've got the bolt facilities down underneath. You've got the Walton Bar
Center for Creative Imagination.
Creative Arts. Mm-hmm. You've got several names that are attached to the university buildings. If you want to identify when office with the area, then you can name a particular stretch of the road. Now, a lot of people call it the Frank Ward Roundabout. But when you come out of the Frank Ward Roundabout, you are coming up the University Drive. So if you want to at least associate Owen Arthur's name with it, you can probably say that stretch between the Frank Ward Roundabout and the traffic lights that will take you across to Wanstead can be called the Arthur's Drive.
Okay.
Owen Arthur's Drive. Beg your pardon?
Fair enough. Maybe somebody will hear your suggestion and think it is a good one.
Don't trouble the Frank Ward Roundabout, because Frank Ward have a significant connection with the university as well.
I wonder if we're going to run out of locations to name, though. In any case, thank you for your call. I really enjoyed hearing from you.